Let us turn again to Proverbs chapter 4, and let us read again verses 18 and 19 and consider them as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Proverbs 4 at verse 18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." There's a contrast. And there's plenty of contrasts in the book of Proverbs. And very often between the just or the righteous and the wicked. It's the path or the way that is contrasted here. Both groups of people and on a journey. The journey through life. And it should be of significance to us as to which pathway we are on. And we might distinguish them for the moment in terms of the destination. Where is our journey going to end up? Will it end up in heaven or in a lost eternity? It's easily said, it can be expressed in a few words, but it's of tremendous significance. And may we get grace to seek the Lord, to seek the entrance to the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And to speak about seeking that entrance is the same as to speak about seeking Christ, for he is the door, and that's what he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He would get onto the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. Otherwise, he will continue in darkness. And that should be a concern to us, that we have no reason to believe that we have passed from death into life, that we have left the broad way and begin to walk on the narrow way. It should be of tremendous concern to us. We must die, but what will follow? What will follow when we die? But there's this path, the path of the just is as the shining light. It's lit up by the sun. That's the idea. And it will shine more and more unto the perfect day or the complete day. That's what happens in this world. A bright, sunny morning and the sun gets warmer and the sun gets higher in the sky and the sun shines more and more brightly until noon comes. And the path of the just is lit up in that way. And when it comes to noon, that's the end. In this sense, that the brightness will never go back. The brightness will never get duller. That's how it will be for everyone here who has passed from death unto light. Yet there's something wonderful ahead of you. That is a perfect noonday, a complete brightness. It will never change anymore. When you get out of this world with all its darkness and with all its troubles, and when you enter on heaven, you've reached perfect brightness. As against the total contrast of the way of the wicked, it is as darkness. And when you go in the dark, if you have no torch, you have nothing whatever to light up your way, and it's total darkness, Sooner or later, you're going to stumble. And the way of the wicked is that kind of way. At some stage, they're going to stumble. To stumble into a lost eternity, into the blackness of darkness forever. It's complete blackness. It's complete as the path of the righteous becomes complete brightness. So the path of the wicked becomes complete darkness, and they will stumble somewhere and they will not know what they've stumbled at. It's too dark. Well, the divisions that we will follow this evening are obvious. It's on the one case, it's the way of the wicked, and in the other case, it's the way of the just or of the righteous. And the way of the wicked, first of all, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And secondly, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked, first of all. Now, you see, a great deal is said about wisdom in this book. Solomon, speaking to his children, speaks of understanding, and he says that wisdom is the principal thing, and wisdom and understanding can be taken as meaning the same thing. Making a proper use of the knowledge that we have. We've all got some knowledge. We all know something about the way of salvation, the way in which a sinner goes, looking unto Jesus, trusting in him, trusting in the Son of God who became man. It's a way of light. But those who are not in that way, they're in darkness. And that's what we're speaking about just now. You see, what you have in Psalm 82, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. It's not that they know nothing, but they don't know anything as they should know it. They're not making use of the knowledge that they have. They've no wisdom to say, this is the way that I should go in. But you see, what the Savior was saying, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. We all have light. It's shining around us. It's shining out of the pages of Scripture, we might say. The question is, are we taking it in? Are we reading the Bible seriously? Are we listening seriously to what is said in the preaching? Are we taking seriously what we are told? You see, Jesus warned those who were listening to him. That's in John chapter 12. Yet a little while is the light with you. A little while. That's how we should think of it. We have the light. We have the Bible. We have the preaching. We have the example of godly people to some extent. Are we listening? Are we watching? Are we taking it in? It's only for a little while that we will have these opportunities. We will take in and we will take ill and die, or else we will just pass away suddenly. We don't know what it's going to be. We don't know how things are going to be. But what we do know is that however we will leave this world, it's only a little while away. While we are still here on mercy's ground, in God's long suffering, We have opportunities, but it's only for a little while. So let us listen to what the Saviour is saying. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. While the light of gospel truth is shining around us, we are to walk. We are to go in a particular direction. We are to use the light. What is told us about how to find salvation? How will we find salvation? Let us put it like this just now, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's the call. And we're to walk in the light. While we are in the light, while the light of gospel truth is shining where we are, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. That's the language of verse 19. Basically, the one who walks in darkness, the one who walks outside the light of gospel truth, the light of Bible warning, they don't know where they're going. They're going to stumble. Sooner or later they'll stumble, perhaps into a course of sin, which will lead them on a course of living, which will bring them at last into a lost eternity. But while you have the light, you see, walk in the light. While you have the directions about how to be saved, follow these directions. You hear the Saviour saying to you, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Or to go back to the Saviour, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light, that ye may be people who are characterized by light and walking in the light. You see, if I can repeat myself, we have the light. We have gospel truth. It is shining all around us. We hear it again and again. Are we walking in it? Are we taking heed to it? Are we listening? While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And then it says, these things spake Jesus and departed and hid itself from them. And I feel that there's something significant about that. Jesus gave them that warning. For some of them, it might have been their final warning. And he left them. Did he leave them to themselves? See, that's one thing we should be afraid of. That we would be left to ourselves. Sinner, are you afraid of being left to yourself? Or have you always this rather presumptuous hope? I'll have another opportunity. There'll be plenty more chances to hear about salvation. There'll be plenty more opportunities to walk in the light. There's no rush. There's no hurry. Is that how it is with you? And so you go on. So you presumptuously neglect what you have heard. You go on with the more attractive things of life, as you might put it. No rush to seek the Lord, no rush to find salvation, no rush to have the light of gospel truth shine into your heart. Yes. But you see what it comes to. Somebody has stumbled into a course of sin, walking in darkness, not making use of the light, not seeking instruction from the one who can teach us effectively. Think of that. There's Christ, and he's not far from any one of us. He's able to teach us. He's able to shine a torch of gospel light to put it like that, into our souls and into our pathway, so that we will see the danger, that we will see the danger at the end of the way and see what is so attractive about the way that Christ represents, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But as he shines his light on the pathway that the ungodly are on, those who have not found Christ, those who are just going on in their own ways, there's something to be seen. Perhaps you imagine it's in the far distance, but there's something that is happening again and again and again. And it may not be far from you. The direction is spoken from heaven. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's the unprofitable servant. What's the unprofitable servant? Is he doing any good in this world? He might be doing a lot of good in temporal things. But is he doing any spiritual good? Does he pray? Does he pray for the people around him? Oh, he's unprofitable. He's of no profit to anyone around him. He doesn't even pray for them. And what's the end? Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Does he praise God? Does he pray for the prosperity of Christ's cause? No, he's unprofitable, or she is unprofitable. Not doing any good. And you see, there's somebody else, and very weak spiritually. But there's prayer. There's a little bit of prayer now and then. There's regular prayer. And it might be, there may be much more to it than what it seems to that person. They're looking unto Jesus as they pray. They're trusting in him, however weak. And their prayers are heard. What a great matter. What a profitable servant the Lord has there. A profitable servant. And what will be said when that sinner comes into eternal glory? Is it, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness? No. Nothing like that. Because that person was profitable. Profitable to God himself, will we say. Yes, that's what it was. That person was profitable. The Lord got glory out of the prayers of that servant. The Lord got glory. The Lord was glorified. There was an honoring of God. And that prayer, these prayers were presented before the Father. Christ took these prayers. They were weak. They were perhaps not very articulate. They were they were not well spoken. Didn't matter. There was grace in them. They were full of grace. And they were profitable. They were profitable for the church in this world. They were profitable, it might well be, for ungodly people around them. For others who had been unprofitable and lived unprofitably. Yes. The Lord found it profitable. The Lord was weighing everything. And he saw that person, and he said, here's a profitable servant. Here's a profitable servant, praying in ways that are glorifying to me. And then, at the end of the day, it is this: come, you blessed one of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. Come, you were profitable in this world, in a little thing. Oh yes, it was a little thing, and yet in another way it wasn't little. It wasn't little. God was glorified, and that's not little. There were petitions, godly, spiritual petitions offered up, and that wasn't little. And the Lord measures things in these terms. But you see, Peter speaks in a solemn way in chapter 2 in his first epistle. He speaks of Christ as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Christ as a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense or a rock of stumbling, something that people stumble over. Christ. Yes, and if people are not making a proper use of Christ, if they find Christ in their ways, so to speak, and they do not believe in Christ, and they stumble into a course of sin, or a course of greater unbelief than ever. You see, they're walking on in darkness. They're refusing the light. They're going on in sin. They're unprofitable. They're careless. That's the way it is. That's the way it can be. How is it with yourself? Is there any profit in your life? Profit in a spiritual sense? Or do you stumble over Christ? When he is set before you, do you say, I cannot believe, therefore I'm not going to make any effort to seek the Lord? That's to stumble over Christ. And if it is the Lord's will that you should pass away at that moment, then your fall will be into a lost eternity. You see, the seriousness of having Christ set before you, if you do not make a good use of him, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. It's twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A way of religion, yes? Following religion, following, in a sense, true religion, coming to church, reading the Bible, engaging in prayer in outward terms, and it seems right to a man. But if that's all, if there's no spiritual religion, if there's no earnest seeking for salvation, then it's a way of darkness, and people stumble, and people will stumble finally into a lost eternity. And so the call is, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Come, sinner, before it is too late, before the day of your opportunity will pass away. Take seriously what has been said before you this evening, and has been set before you on many, many occasions in the past. Do not waste your opportunities. Do not go on in darkness. Do not go on in unbelief. The Savior is calling you. The Savior is multiplying your opportunities, giving you more at any rate. Will you not come? Will you not look to him? Will you not hear from the depths of your soul, hear that call that still goes out to you? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And so, let us go on to speak of the just, or of the righteous. They are in the light. They might not always realize that they are walking in the light, but that's what they are doing. The light of gospel truth, will we say, as we have been saying, time was when they walked in the ways of darkness like everyone else. But you see, as Paul addresses the righteous in Ephesus, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. At one time in darkness. It's not just that they were walking in darkness, but that their whole environment, even into their very soul, that was darkness. At one time, it was darkness. But now, by the gospel, and the gospel being applied to their souls by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit in their souls for the sake of Christ, they were turned from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. You see what we had in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy words gives light. The place where God's words are to be found, the entrance, well, let us go to the entrance. The entrance of the word of God, where we might hear what the Lord is to say to us. And when we go to hear what God is to say to us, let us be asking that the Lord would bless his truth to us, that the Lord would bless these words to us, that though we would still be in darkness, that the Lord would give light. Yes, he is able to do that. He is ready to do so. He is ready to hear the cry of the poor and needy. Yes, as I've just quoted Paul, not Paul. Well, Paul was repeating it, but the words of God the words of Christ in calling Paul to go out and preach the gospel, to go to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. It's a work of Christ through the Holy Spirit, applying the truth, shining light into a sinner's soul, so that there shall change, and there shall complete change of pathway, so that they are no longer walking in darkness, but walking in the light. That's what we should be wanting. That's what we should be looking for. Yes. And we're asking that the Lord would apply his words to us, that he would shine the gospel torch, as it were, into our souls. Yes. The light of the gospel is around us. But is it shining into our hearts? We should be concerned about that. We should be asking that the light of the glorious gospel of the blessed God would shine into our hearts, individually, personally. Yes. You see, they shall beginning to walking in the narrow way, in the path of the just, which is compared to the shining light, and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You see, those who are walking in this way, they are the just, and the just shall live by faith. The righteous, they shall live as they look to Christ. There's no life if there's no looking, if there's no faith. But there is life when the light comes shining into a sinner's soul. Oh, what we need as individuals, as a congregation, what we need as a generation is that the light of gospel truth would shine into a multitude of souls. Yes. And it would be good if there was much earnest prayer going up. to the God of heaven, that the truth would shine brightly into the souls of sinners. The just shall live by faith. Faith in Christ Jesus as the one who came into the world to save sinners. The one who his own self bore the sins of many in his own body on the tree. What was the unseen as Christ was making his way to Calvary? What was that unseen as Christ was hanging solemnly on the cross of Calvary? Well, there was this. He was bearing the sins of many, bearing the sins of a multitude that no one can number. Yes, and we are to look to him, not trying to visualize what it all looked like. That will not save us. But it's this, that we would get an understanding of what was happening through what is revealed to us in the Word of God. What is revealed? That Christ was there and he was suffering for others, and that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. That's gospel truth. That's one of the beams, a great big beam of gospel truth that is coming very near to us. Are we seeking to grasp it? Are we seeking that light would shine into our hearts in our weakness? Oh, how much we need that Christ would speak to us. Make it personal. Apply it to our souls, that he would open our eyes and open our hearts, that we would open everything that there is in connection with our souls, and that we would receive the truth. That's what we need. Yes. And that's what the people of God have. They have looked. They have trusted. They have received this great gospel truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's hope there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. None perish is that impressed. That's what we have. None perish. No one perishes that trusts in Christ. That's the assurance. That's how effective the salvation is that Christ worked out. Sinner, do not be afraid to go to Christ. He has never turned away anyone yet. Believer, or at least you who thought you were once a believer, do not be afraid to look again to Christ. See Jonah. It was pretty dire down there in the bottom of the sea inside a large fish. Pretty dire for him spiritually, he would have thought. But there's a light coming from the gospel torch where Jonah was, and he says, I will look again into thy holy temple. Why the temple? What good would that do him? He's never going to get anywhere near it again. Whether he did or not, he would look in that direction, though he was probably totally disoriented. But it wasn't a physical looking that was so much in his mind. It was this. He would think over what was happening at the Lord's temple. There was sacrifice being offered, and it was sacrifice for sinners. It was sacrifice for those who had disobeyed, like he had disobeyed. So he looks again. He thinks of the priests taking a lamb or taking a bullock, and the animal is put to death, and the animal is put on the altar, and the animal is burnt. Yes, and the Lord accepts the sacrifice. He believes. And for the sake of the sacrifices offered every day, morning and evening, for all the Israelites, he can say, I'm an Israelite. And there was a sacrifice offered this morning for me. And if it is late on in the day, though he might have little sense of that, it doesn't matter. He would say, there's another offering for me. Oh, there's a provision for sinners. And so I can lay hold of this. I can say, there's a sacrifice offered for me. And you can say, there's a sacrifice made known to me. Work of Christ is presented to me, it's offered to me, and I am to receive that. I am to receive it, because the free offer of the gospel comes to me. Sinner, lay hold of Christ. Sinner, lay hold of Christ. Child of God, lay hold of Christ. It's a sacrifice that is altogether suitable for you, and take another step in the paths of righteousness. Take another step and another step. It may be one step at a time. But looking into Jesus and seeing the great work that has been accomplished and seeing how suitable it is for you as a sinner, take another step. Take another step on towards heaven. Take another step conscious that your sins have been forgiven over again. That today's sins have been forgiven. Yes. And you're to be going on more and more unto the perfect day. You're to be going on. There's the perfect day of heaven before you. You're not fit for heaven, you say. And to some extent that is true. Fundamentally you are, if you have looked to Christ. But, you see, you need another, you need further forgiveness. You need further holiness. Yes. And the Lord is saying to you, walk as children of light. Be consistent with your profession. Do not be going on in sin. Ah, yes, but you see, you might say, I am born into sin as the sparks fly upwards. There's an inevitability that I will sin. Well, that may be. But as you sin, go to the Lord for forgiveness. As you sin, go to the Lord for spiritual healing, that you might be restrained, that the work of grace in your soul might go on. And you see what you have at verse 12. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. Yes, verse 12. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. If you are looking unto Jesus, if you are trusting in him, then you will not stumble. You are being enabled to walk in the light. You see, what has been said here is that the way of salvation is a way of progress. That's how it's to be all the way to the end. You have it in Psalm 84, for instance. They go from strength to strength as they advance on the way toward heaven. And again, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for them that walk uprightly. You see, there's the work of grace going on, gradually, but stage by stage. You see, there's the assurance that he who hath begun the good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun the good work will continue it. And that's the language of our text. It's not the language. It's the idea in our text here in verse 18, the way of grace, it's going to continue. And the sinner, the gracious sinner, the sinner who is looking unto Jesus, is going to continue walking in the way of righteousness. He will not be put out of that way. He will not be left to stumble. He will never stumble into a lost eternity. All will be well. Yes. Oh, there's good things ahead of God's children. There's good things ahead of all who are on the way that leads to everlasting life, on the way that began at the straight gate when the one who is now a child of God first looked unto Jesus. First he obeyed the gospel call. First had the torch of gospel light shining in his direction, and saw the way, and his eyes were open, and he looked to Jesus, trusted in him as one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for his own people. Yes, ever lives to make intercession for them. They're under his care. And I don't want to go down that pathway very much. It would delay us too long. But I do want to indicate the great variety of ways that Christ has held out to his people as one who is able to save, as one who will progress their salvation. Think of him, for instance, as the prophet and the priest and the king. He is able to teach. He is able to make intercession. He is able to rule them and defend them. And in every such way, and many, many more ways, the shepherd, for instance, is the one who will take care of his people. There's all these ways that he has described with respect to his people. And in each of these ways, we can just think a little and we see how he is able to advance the salvation of his own children, to carry them on step by step in the way of salvation, to carry them on. However weak they might feel, and however weak they might be, however ignorant, however slow, however they might feel themselves. You see, there's something in Christ that is appropriate to the expression of their need. Christ is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. Their prayers are poor. Is that what they are saying? Although they are making progress, although they are going on step by step, still, you see, there is one in heaven representing them, and he is making intercession. He is presenting their poor petitions before his Father, and while the believer can find nothing in himself as a basis on which to present these petitions, yet Christ presents these petitions on a good foundation. What he has done, he has done all that was necessary to provide for a perfect salvation. He has done all that was necessary. Yes, look at him in that way. Hear him saying, I have done all that was necessary. Hear him saying, it is finished. We find that in the word of God explicitly. What he said in the cross, he said, the work that I came into the world to do, it is finished. It has been finished. Yes. It's been brought to completion. There's nothing left to be done. And therefore, all the salvation that I came into the world to provide, all the salvation that I came into the world to accomplish, it has been done. It is finished. And therefore, I will that all these children, all these believers, that the work of grace in their souls might be advanced. Step by step it will be, but it's all going generally in one direction. The foundation has been laid so that the work of grace will go on step by step by step until it is completed. Yes. Now, you remember the command. You find it at the end of Peter's second epistle. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, or our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is what Peter says. Grow in grace. How can I grow in grace? Go to Christ. You see, corresponding to the petition, you can find in the Word of God the assurance that the Lord will do the work. You're commanded to do something, to grow in grace. That's impossible, you say. Well, you will grow in grace as you look to Jesus, as you trust in the great provision that has been made. Take another look. When you say, it's too much for me, I cannot do it. And there's truth in that, you see. But we mustn't say it in an unbelieving way. Take another look to Christ. Take another look and another look and see that he is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. You see, go through the Word of God, and what you're getting is provision, provision, provision. The provision of one who is able. Able to save to the uttermost, able to bring about your growth in grace, working through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to keep him back. He said on the cross, it is finished. And that statement echoes around the world, echoes between heaven and earth, we might say. Still doing so. And so that as it echoes back to earth, as one might put it, it may go into your ears and into your heart, and you might say, O Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. O Lord, do this in me and for me. What I cannot do, do thou bring about thyself. Yes, and just to notice what is said in connection with heaven, thy son shall no more go down, but at least that's one application of it. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Yes, there's a perfect day before every one of God's people. There's heaven, and there shall be no night there. No perfect day. Perfect day. Whatever may be the case at the actual moment of death, you see, the Lord varies the circumstances of his people. But immediately on the other side of death, what you have is perfect day. And a perfect day that no darkness will ever penetrate into. And so let me leave you with this. Or perhaps a few things. But the Lord saying to everyone here, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. There may be dark mountains ahead, but you see, what we need is light. And to be receiving that light, so that we would not stumble on these dark mountains. Dark mountains of unbelief, let us describe them as just now. Give glory to the Lord by believing in Him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. And therefore, as you have it in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Or, to quote from chapter 8 at the end, here's instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Receive instruction from the Word of God. Receive the light that comes where you are. Do not shatter your eyes. Do not shatter your mind against the words of God. They are wisdom. They are to be received. Yes, we need them. We need light, and light to penetrate into our souls so that we would not stumble, so that we would not go down to a lost eternity under the influence of unbelief. Yes, may we not go on in unbelief, but may we hear the voice of Christ saying to us, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. We are poor creatures, Lord. We need thee. We need thy blessing. Make us thankful for thy word. Make us thankful for the gospel. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus, every one of us. May we welcome his voice when he calls on us to look to him. Oh, enable us to look away from ourselves and our sin and our unbelief, but to rest ourselves upon Christ Jesus as the one who said, it is finished. Give us thy blessing for time and for eternity. Apply thy truth to our souls. Be with us this evening. Give us strength for every duty, and grant to make us thankful for all thy goodness to us. May we be looking unto Jesus, go before us always. Help us to thank thee. Give us thy blessing. Pardon our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.